Before you take your seats, just turn to someone, tell them God loves you, and so do I. Amen. 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 And we welcome you. We celebrate Men and Women's Day today, but we also are celebrating what we call the Thanksgiving season. And for that reason, we wanted to make sure that we're focused on giving God thanks for all that He's done. Our scripture today is from Psalm 100. Verses 4 and 5, we thank Brother Joe for opening up in our music this morning, and we're grateful that you've come and to share with us as we shall love the Lord and worship Him in praise. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Thus in the reading of God's holy word, we want to share with you the message, the power of a thankful heart. The power of a thankful heart. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you again for bringing us together to this place. We honor your name. We ask that you would prepare our hearts as we shall receive your word. God, we need the Holy Spirit both to bring it forth and then to receive it, that every heart may be blessed. And every life would be changed by the power and the glory of God. We thank you, we love you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a thankful heart? What is a thankful heart? How do we express our gratitude and our love for God Almighty? What is a thankful heart? Well, we know that the heart has tremendous power. Both the physical vessel that we have that we call a heart, the organ that we have that's called a heart, it keeps us alive. It is filled with life. It is filled with a blood flow that nourishes your body. When you think about the heart that we refer to in a mental or a emotional state, we are thinking about that which we love with, our intelligence, all of these things come from the heart. Jesus said, out of the heart comes the what? Issues of life. Life itself flows from the heart. Now, when we think about the heart, we must not just limit it to the fact that we are thinking, that we're loving with it, but sometimes the heart motivates us. It drives us. Armies that have been on the verge of defeat, they've rallied and they've come to victory at the captain's command when he said, put your heart into it. Teams that are on the losing end would often turn the outcome around because they put their heart into it. We read the story about Dr. John Getty, a Presbyterian missionary. He was sent to South Pacific in 1848, and he spent 24 years of his life there. And while he spent that 24 years, he made such an impact on that South Pacific island that when he left that region after giving his best in service, this was erected at the church where he preached. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians. When he left in 1872, there were no heathens. That's because he put his heart into it. Well, when you think about putting your heart into it, are we putting our heart into worshiping and honoring God? The Bible tells us, enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. You're putting your heart into it when you give God thanks. The greatest gift that you can give to God is to give Him thanks. Because when you think about it, if you say, I'm going to give Him my time, well, He gave that to you first. I'm going to give Him my strength. Well, He gave you strength first. I'm going to give Him my money. God gave you that first, or He gave you the ability to go out and to get these resources. There's not much that you can give God except your thanks. It's a matter of the will. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our devotion. It's a matter of our dedication. And we know that He deserves it. And the question is, why don't we give it? Well, you will give it if you put your heart into it. You must not allow things of this life to keep you from honoring God, for he is good, as the verse says. His mercy is everlasting. And the reason why people don't see that God is good is because they're not giving him thanks. I want to tell you early on in the message that you can't enter God's presence without an invitation. No one goes into someone's house without an invitation. And it says, enter into his gates with praise. Notice, his gates, not yours. His house, not yours. His place of prayer, not yours. His temple, not yours and not mine. It's God's place that we're going in, we're offering our praise and our thanksgiving, and what he expects of us, when I let you in, I want you to offer praise. If I allow you to come into my presence, I want you to come with thanksgiving. He's given us a way here that we can truly honor and worship God. We got to be mindful of the heart, that if we don't thank God with it, if we don't recognize God with your heart, then you're prone to slip into negative things. You're prone to drift into sin, and we'll share a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But Jeremiah tells us the heart is what? It's deceitful. And above all things, it's desperately wicked. Did you not know your heart could trick you? It could trick you into thinking one thing when really it's something else. And we fail to see the reality of something if you're not entering into God's presence. We don't see problems right unless we enter God's presence. We don't really see how we can get a breakthrough in our life until we enter God's presence. We don't really notice a lot of things, and we take things for granted unless you enter God's presence. Sometimes we faint and fall with the troubles of life because we're looking at it from our perspective and not seeing it God's way. See, the reason why you come before God and the reason why he gives you this invitation is because of these massive burdens that we have, these massive problems that we have. And of course, they're too great for you. Yes, they're bigger than what you can face. But with God, all things are possible. So we invite you to come into his presence because he's going to help you deal with those situations of life that you can't change. And how many of you would agree that you never would have made it had it not been for God? You wouldn't have gotten to where you are right now unless God had been with you. Your own heart deceived you. It was desperately wicked. Think about your condition before you met God. You and I were sinners. And guess what? Unless you enter God's presence, you're going to keep on doing what you've been doing. But when you enter God's presence, something changes about you. All of a sudden, you see someone who is greater. You lift up your eyes and you see the one that's greater than your problem, greater than your need, greater than your sin, and he invites you, come on in, come on in. And the Bible tells us that we should come boldly. How do you come boldly? You come with a heart of thanksgiving. When we look at this, we have to look at our attitudes. What's your attitude when you come before God? Do you enter into his gates with thanksgiving? Do you come into his courts with praise? Or do you come in, God, I got a problem with you. Or, God, I'm fearful. These are attitudes. These are things that you have to face in life. Sometimes we come into God's presence. I've done it. You've done it. And you're demanding because you're faced with an emergency. You want God to move. And so what you're saying is, God, I need you to do this right now. And you forget he controls time. You forget that he controls your next heartbeat. You forget that God brought you this far and he's not going to leave you. Amen. We approach it with the attitude of demand. We want it right now because just like the microwave, we don't, and some of us don't even have time for the microwave to heat up stuff. That's how demanding we are. And then sometimes we look at the world and we approach God with self-righteousness. God, I know what this world needs. Do you really? Do you really know what it needs? God, I know what this situation needs, and here's what needs to be done. You spend a lot of prayer time telling God how to do it when God already has the perfect answer, his perfect timing, and he's going to work it out his way. Jesus taught us in prayer, not my will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth, in my life, in your situation, in my situation. Your will be done. Don't approach God as if you know all the answers, because you don't. You might know a lot about the situations, but you don't know God the way that you should unless you come before him. We not only approach with a demanding attitude and self-righteous attitude, we approach with fear. Fear often drives us to the place, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And God is not saying don't come when you're fearful, because we're afraid. The psalmist even said, at what times I am afraid, I'm going to trust God. So there will be fearful moments, but that fear should not keep you from giving God thanks. Your fear should not hold you back from giving God. Oh, but preacher, you don't know the problem I've got. You don't know the burden I have. God knows. Why else do you think he's giving you the invitation? Come on in here. Come on in here. You know, it's like you're sitting in the doctor's office and he says, next. That means God's doors are open all the time. His arms are open to receive those where you can bring your burden unto him. We approach the Lord sometimes without fear, but guess what? God did not give you the spirit of fear. You might have a situation that causes you to be fearful. Don't give in to the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is going to limit you. The spirit of fear is going to tell you, I don't know whether God is going to work this out or not, because fear and doubt, they're first cousins. They operate together. And whenever you have that fear, you're going to have that doubt, and you're going to say, well, I'm going to pray, but I don't know whether it's going to work. Here's another attitude that we have, not only demanding and self-righteous and fearful, but we have the attitude sometimes where we just want to come in. Just let me sing a song. Just let me pray a prayer. Let me go to church. Let me just give my offering. Let me just go through this routine. Yeah, we're going to stand up on this song, sit down on that one. We're going to say a prayer. We're going to give our money. We're going to hear the preacher talk, and then we're going to go home. That's a ceremony. You don't have a ceremonial relationship with God. You have a personal relationship with God. The Bible tells us in Psalms 100 and verse 3, know what? Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and what? Not we ourselves. Whatever we are, we're his people and the sheep of his pasture. So every time you come in and you worship God and you're coming with that thankful attitude, you're saying, I not only belong to God, I belong with God. A lot of people say, well, I belong to God, but do you belong with him? Now, if you know that God is with you, you're going to limit what you do, right? You know, when your parents were with you, you didn't show off when you were young. All right, when they were with you. As soon as they turned their back, that's when you showed yourself. Well, with God with you and God abiding in your heart, there are certain things that you're not going to do. Notice this worshipful attitude and this thankful attitude is what turns you away from sin. I didn't know what righteousness was. I didn't know what serving God was all about until I recognized who he was. I recognized that Christ had come into my heart, had revealed himself to me so that I didn't have to walk that old way. I didn't have to go down that old path. And Ephesians 5 and verses 3 and 4, it admonishes us. But fornication, all uncleanness, people say, well, I'm not a fornicator. I wouldn't go there if I were you. See, a lot of these things we've done, amen? We've not been faithful to God. We've not been pure before God, right? So you may have done one, not the other, but he says all uncleanness or covetousness. Have you ever wanted something that wasn't yours? All right? And so he goes through this list. It says, let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. How many of us tell these jokes and ha-ha, we're just so, revved up about it, and you stop thinking, well, I shouldn't have said that. Gotcha. Well, all of us have done these things. Now, what's going to keep you from that? He says, but rather. You see, when you give God thanks, I'll tell you what, next time you get a sin urge, which probably comes daily, right? Yeah, you know, the devil going to come in and he's going to tell. Next time that urge, just say, I'm going to give God thanks. I am going to worship God. I am going to honor God. And the next thing you know, every knee has to bow, including that sin urge. Every tongue must confess, including that sin urge, that Jesus Christ. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. So when you start praying, the devil recognizes, wait a minute, they've gone higher than me. Wait a minute, they've gone higher than the sin. Now they're giving God thanks. What did you do when you felt that there was a threat on the outside? You ran to the inside. You ran to somebody who was in control, right? So every time these things come your way, you're running to God and said, God, wait a minute. That's not what you made me for. You made me for worship. You made me to honor you, and I'm not going to yield to sin. But rather, giving of thanks. See, as much as you think that you can multitask, you can't praise God and sin at the same time. That trick never works, as Rocky told Bullwinkle. See, when you worship God, when you honor him, when you say that he's first in my life, which that's what Thanksgiving does, it recognizes God for who he is and what he's done, but rather the giving of thanks, you're closing the door to these issues in your life. You're saying, God, I'm living a new life now. Because of you and because I honor you, I'm living a new life. Now, this is something to think about when you approach Thanksgiving. Because some people see it as a day, while we see it as a way of life. We see it as the path that we ought to take. Amen? And not only is it turning from sin, but it's turning to God. And listen, you when you and I get in the presence of important people, it just changes our attitude, right? You know, I notice when people come from up north, right? We don't talk with that southern drawl, y'all, and we don't talk. When people come from up north, we say New York, right? Our attitude changes. Well, listen, when you get around God, the presence of him means glory that you're now beholding. Something that you've never seen before. He says, enter into his presence with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. There are three admonitions in this verse to recognize God. It says, enter what? His gates. With what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know what? The gates of this day were owned by God. And before you got out of your bed, God opened the gates of this day. And says, welcome to now. Welcome. And what does Jesus say? He said, now, when you recognize me, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. This is the day that the Lord has made. Welcome to right now. You're entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. His gates, his courts. There's a difference there. There are gates and doors that God will open for you, but his courts means his personal presence. How many of you have ever sat down with God and you've really had these precious talks with God, these moments with God that you count and said, Lord, I am so glad I talked with you. I don't know what I would have done had I not had a little talk with you. But God, now that we've talked it over, now that I've listened to you, I don't see it my way anymore. Have y'all ever been there? I'm not looking at it. That's when you enter into that secret place, that place of fellowship, that place where God shares with you what's in his heart and how much he loves you. But then the third admonition is be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Thank God for what? I got problems. Well, maybe you belong to him, but you're not with him. Amen. Because I can tell you a problem doesn't look the same when you're seeing it from God's way and you're seeing it from your way. It just does not look the same. As a matter of fact, that problem looks so big when you're looking at it from your way. Are you with me? So it says, be thankful unto him and do what? And bless his name. That's the fourth thing, bless his name. To make happy. Is God happy when we come before him and we're thankful? Well, let's flip this. I'm going to invite you in my house, and before you get in, you start complaining about my carpet on my floor. All right? I'm going to invite you in my house. You sit down in my chair, and you say, this chair is too hard. Right? So I'm inviting you into my house. I sit you down. I give you a meal. And you say, this meal is cold. I don't like it. Now, we laugh at that, but how many times do we enter the presence of God? Amen. Complaining, yeah. Moaning, yeah. Groaning of how bad it is. And God whispers to us, it could be a whole lot worse in your life. Enter into his presence with joy. Bless his name. Make him happy. Say, God, I realize things are not the way I want it, but thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're on my side. Yes, I have struggles. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start getting older and pain start visiting you that never visited you before, when stuff in the night start, you shouldn't have eaten that yesterday, and it starts visiting you at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord Jesus, you recognize who's God. You recognize who owns you, and not only do you want to belong to God, you want to be with God. You turn to God, but then you recognize his power. But look at this. For the Lord is what? Good. That means there's no darkness. There's no badness. There's nothing negative in him. God just, he is good. He is totally righteous, totally pure. There's nothing in God that is fractured or broken or weak. God is strong. God is almighty. As a matter of fact, he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that started time, and at the end of time, he's the one that says, I'm going to catch it. God is your all and your all. You can't find anybody like God. That's whose presence you're coming into. That's the one that you're worshiping. Not just Lottie Dottie, anybody. You're talking about God Almighty. Give him the recognition. Give him the thanks. Recognize that it had not been for the Lord, you would be everlastingly lost. You'll never see it until you get a heart of thanksgiving. You'll never see that he's good. You'll never see that his mercy endures forever. I don't have to worry about today because I remember how he was yesterday. Was he good yesterday? Yes. Was his mercy good last year? Yes. Guess what? He's not going to change. His mercy is everlasting. And look at this. People talking about the situational truth. Which situational truth is, it's no longer truth anymore. It just depends on the situation or the circumstance. Look at what it says about God here. His truth endures to all generations. The same God who told you stop walking in sin, stop walking in unrighteousness, is the same God who tells you today, stop walking in unrighteousness. Stop. Sin still has the same definition. Amen. Transgression is the same thing as departure from God's way and doing it your way. So when you start recognizing God, when you start saying, the Lord is the power in my life, you know, the psalmist spent time meditating on the things of God. And the more he meditated about the goodness of God, the more he meditated on the power of God, the more he meditated on God's mercy enduring forever, the more he thought about it, he got exposed to it. See, when you're exposed to something like poison ivy, it's going to show up on your skin, right? And it's hard to get rid of. You know, you can get the calamine lotion and you can try to put some calamine lotion on it, but because you've been exposed to poison ivy, you're going to itch. You're going to scratch. How many of you have ever had poison ivy? You know, I never realized a couple of years ago I was exposed to a tick, and the tick didn't like me. So the tick decided he was going to bite me. I would have bit him if he had been so. But anyway, because I was exposed to that tick, it had an impact on me. Later on that evening, I caught a fever. Because of the tick. When we think about exposure and what you've been exposed to, a person exposed to the light, they're going to reveal the light. So when you enter into God's presence, you're exposed to God now. Now, so the impact is that you're not going to walk into the presence of God one way and then come out that same way. If you've been exposed to something, whatever it is, it's going to now make you,
It's going to transform you. So when you start thinking about God and entering into his presence, you're talking about you and I being transformed, being changed. So when you come in, praise him, and you start thanking God, you start recognizing God, you're getting exposed. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm getting exposed. People who are exposed to radiation, it has an impact on them. Did you not know that every time you take medication, you're now exposed to that? And they give you this whole list of side effects. When you worship God, there are side effects. You're not going to do the same thing. You're not going to act the same way. You're going to be different. Let me give you a couple things before we close. Number one, you're going to know. Know what, preacher? You're going to know that he is God. How many of you know him? I'm not talking about read about him. I'm talking about know him. You know him. You know that he's God. You know that he's the one that provides for you. Your conversation is all about the goodness of the Lord. I know he's good. Don't know everything about him. I can't tell you about Paris because I've never been there. I've seen pictures of the Eiffel Tower. But you know what? I doubt if I went there that I would want to stay there because that's not where I call home. Are y'all with me? Are you in the house? Now I've been exposed to some things, but I can't tell you that I really know all about him. But there's one thing I do know. I know the Lord. Amen. I know that he is the one that has come into my life, that has changed me. I know him. And the Bible commands us, know that he is God. Why is that important? Because circumstances or trials will come in your life and say, wait a minute, you are this because of this. Now you've got something that is trying to change you that you ought not be exposed to. Y'all missed it. Oh, you missed it. But when you're exposed to God, when you say, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be acting like an idiot. That's what my mama used to say when we show off. You round me now. You better act like you know, right? When you know that you know God, when you know that he is real, when you know that he is the everlasting God, that he doesn't change, you're not going to be changing. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, we shall not be moved. Second thing you know is that you know he made you. You know, now the part I want to share with this is because of conditions, we think that we got to change. Change means something is now working on you. Yes, God created you in the beginning, but I want to know what's having an impact on your life right now. What's causing you to be reshaped? You ever heard people say, I'm bent out of shape? Why? How'd you get bent out of shape? How did that happen in your life? If you know that God made you and that he's the one that made this day, guess what God's doing? He's shaping you now. You're exposed to God. You're exposed to God. And then the last thing is we are his people. We are his. If the world can't mislabel you, it'll try to get you to forget who you are. It'll try to get you and to convince you, oh, you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God. No child of God would act that way. No child of God would have all these problems. If you were a child of God, it would be showing. You know what Jesus said, talking about the invitation? Matthew 11, he says, come unto me. Now, God gave this invitation, he says, come into his presence with thanksgiving, but he gave it by way of the psalmist, right? He gave it by way of the psalmist. But when Jesus came down through 42 generations, now he's given the invitation personally to you and me. Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your soul. When you can start resting and giving God thanks, I'm going to go to sleep now, Lord, thank you. I'm going to sit down and take a break now, Lord, thank you. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for starting me. Thank you for allowing me to see this day. That's when you know that you are his people and you're not worried about getting somebody else to lead your life or some other thing to come in and help you through your life. I don't need drugs. And the reason why I don't need drugs, I got God. I don't need alcohol. I used to drink it, but I don't need it now because I got Jesus. And because I've got Jesus, I've got joy. And because I've got joy, I got peace of mind. And because I've got peace of mind, the trouble might come, the trouble might go, but I tell you what, it won't last always. Because I know that I belong to God, and not only do I belong to God, I belong with God. Amen. Glory be to his name. Let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us a thankful heart. Thank you for changing our attitude. And rather than complain and groan our way through life, we're going to rejoice and be glad. We'll give you praise because we know you, because you made us, and because we're your people. Bless us now, God, that we might recognize you as our only God and our only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. I'm going to give you an invitation. Maybe there have been times you've doubted God, but you're saying in your heart, I trust him. I know that he's my God. I know that he made me, and I belong to him and with him. I'm going to ask that we all stand. Amen. Amen. Let me get a little. Okay. Come on. Hey, what's going on, Doc? All right. Huh? Okay. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We thank God for God.